The moment you become aware of external silence, the mind is still. Now, how long it is still, we don't know. Doesn't matter. The question is it still this moment? In the moment of noticing silence, you are also silent within, which means still. Because only through the absence of the noise of habitual thinking can you be aware of silence. To be aware of silence, there needs to be stillness within you, because only the stillness within you can be aware of it. Now, what is that? That stillness within you, is it, as I said before, it's not interesting. It's deeper than interesting. Interesting is fine for everyday things. Life, you want your life to be interesting, of course, yes. But interesting is never very deep. If you can watch the news, that's interesting. But when you watch something majestic, like a vast spectacle, vast sunset, or at night, if the sky is clear, you see the vastness of outer space, and you wouldn't call that interesting. It's an amazingly beautiful sunset. Would you say, oh, that what an interesting sunset? But something within you responds, it is a deep experience. And in that deep experience, the mind becomes still. Sometimes the mind becomes stilled by the majesty of nature around you. It stills your mind temporarily, and you go, wow, that's the only thought that you have for a few seconds, if you can't call it a thought. Wow. But after the wow, there's a space. And in that space, you feel intensely alive, but also peaceful. And you associate it with the beauty of what you've just seen. Let's say it's a sunset. Oh, wow. And then perhaps for a little while, you remember it and say, that sunset was so incredibly beautiful. But that moment was very special. Ultimately, not because there was a sunset, but it brought about a temporary shift in your consciousness, a shift away from being absorbed in the thinking, the stream of thinking, to something deeper. An absence of thinking without loss of consciousness. And that is amazing. If you can find that within yourself, at first only glimpses perhaps, for example, now. Do you need to fill up every moment with thoughts? Do you need to figure out right now, mentally, conceptually, what it is that I'm talking about? No, you cannot figure it out conceptually because it's too simple. What's he saying? Let me think about and analyze what he just said. Thought, stillness, what does he mean? Has he really defined stillness? I'm still looking for better definitions, whatever. No. You can't figure, there's nothing to figure out conceptually or mentally. It goes beyond that. But the mind is afraid sometimes to go there, because it loses control. It says, oh, no, don't go there. I will disappear. If you go there, I will disappear. And yes, that's it. You disappear. The self, the entity that's conditioned by the past, the mental emotional entity that you call me, the person, the personality of me, my life. What's happening to my life? Oh my God. The narrative, which is my life, what you don't realize that it's a narrative in your mind. You call it my life. It's all the accumulation of past within you. And you identify with certain elements from that completely. And this identification with these elements, mental, emotional elements from the past, they make up the person conditioned by the past. Your surrounding culture, your family, what happened to you, what other people did to you, all the things you have accumulated and identified with, including your starting with your physical body. The next thing is things around you, possessions. And then many, many other things you identify with, and they become thought forms. So what arises is the egoic self. We could call it spiritually the ego or the egoic self, or the Buddha just called it the self. And if you know Buddhist teachings, Buddhist teachings are very, very simple because you cannot work them out conceptually. So if you have a PhD on Buddhism, it doesn't necessarily mean that you understand Buddhism. You might completely misunderstand it. And that is the case. There are many great professors of Buddhism who talk about it and talk about it and know all the sutras and scriptures. Do they understand it? No. The famous analogy that is used is, honey. How do you know honey? Now, you can study honey. The bees make honey, so you can study it. You can learn many things about honey, and I'm sure people have written PhDs about honey, about what it consists of, how it originates, all kinds of enormous amount of knowledge. So you could theoretically know everything about honey and how to write a PhD about it, but you've never tasted it. Could we say that you know honey if you know a lot about it, but you've never tasted it? I know everything about honey, but I don't know honey. I know everything about it, but I don't know it. The same is spirituality. So the spiritual dimension. You can read hundreds of books, and many of you probably have. No, I'm not saying that you have never tasted the honey. I'm sure you have tasted the honey, otherwise you wouldn't be here. Because it's the honey that brought you here, so to speak. If you had never tasted honey and you were here, then I don't know if it's going to work for you. So we have stillness. The moment you become aware of external silence, the mind is still. Now, how long it is still, we don't know. It doesn't matter. The question is it still this moment? Right now, you can look. Just this, it's not much, just this little bit here, this. And it doesn't require effort. Not I'm now making myself still. You could temporarily hold your breath and stop thinking like that. Stop thinking. That's not the real thing. You're holding down thought like you're putting a lid on a boiling kettle. And eventually you have to start thinking again. You know, you're thinking even more. Oh my God, what's going to happen tomorrow? What am I doing here? This is all a world of nonsense. I must get away. Why did I come here? And why this morning, why did he say that? And I should have said that when he said that, but why didn't I say it? I'm not happy with my life anymore. It's not going anywhere. What's the point of it all? I don't see any point anymore. It doesn't stop. And it's called a person. It's me. And the person goes on and on. It says, I want peace. But everything it does is against peace. It loves conflict, but it doesn't know that. Because this mind-created entity, the ego, the egoic self, thrives on conflict. It doesn't want a world that's peaceful, because it defines its identity through the other that's not me, and the other is always something I need to be in an antagonistic relationship with. Criticizing other people, complaining about situations and people continuously in your mind, or discontent. So many people's egos consist to a large extent of continuous sense of criticism and discontent, an underlying sense of insufficiency, something important is missing. I have to just think about what is it that I need that to fill up this thing that's missing in my life. If something very fundamental is missing, I can't stand it here. I need to get out, to go somewhere else, not here. Why am I with these people? I don't want to be doing what I'm. I just want to be to the end of it. I don't really want to be doing what I'm doing. I need to get there, but I'm still here. But I always need to get there. But I'm always here. It's horrible. Why can't I be there? We can never be there, because there is in time, is the next moment, and it never comes. But you're always trying to get there. Get away from this. I'll be more complete in the next moment. I'll feel better than when I arrive there. And when you arrive, something else is there that's not right, because then you need to arrive somewhere else. Finding the big and small things, finding the person that is destined to make me happy. Then I'll be okay. Your laughter shows me that many of you have already experienced that. So there is that entity, the self, which the Buddha described as an illusion. Which also Jesus talked about here and there, but it's usually overlooked in churches. He said, deny thyself. That's what he said. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. How? What's the point? If the self is real, there's no point in denying it and say, my self is real, but I don't want it. No. When he said, deny thyself, which is negate, which ultimately means recognize the unreality of yourself, the the self that is a conditioned, a mental emotional form of conditioning, a conditioned entity.